Michelle McKenzie, welcome.
Thank you.
You are literally on the front lines. You are handing out Narcan, that's the overdose rescue drug, and working with people at risk of overdose, accidental overdose. Tell me, what are you seeing?
First of all, we're seeing a lot of people who are really interested in getting Narcan, which is terrific. There is the level of awareness about overdose, and the epidemic of addiction in our state is really high.
But we were just talking before we actually hit the record button. This epidemic of addiction and overdose is not getting better.
It's not getting better. It looks like that we are surpassing the number of deaths in 2014.
I want to get at why you think that might be and also ask you, what is different or what has changed over time about this epidemic?
We haven't seen the policies yet that would really say, okay, our resources, our time, and our energy is going to be squarely in the public health camp.
Rather than criminal justice.
Right.
Okay.
So, for instance, we had a Good Samaritan law that was in effect from June 2012 until the end of June 2015.
That's the Good Samaritan law that would protect people who call 911 in case of an overdose from being arrested.
And it lapsed. It had a sunset, so we did not have Good Samaritan coverage. It's very exciting that we have the Good Samaritan law back on the books.
And we know that there are so many people who have been either arrested or put on probation for using heroin or possessing heroin, correct?
Correct. Because of our drug policy for the last 40 to 50 years, there is a lot of fear among people who use drugs in engaging the police in any way in that drug use, including calling 911 to save a life. And what we know from research and also from my own experience in talking to people who report using Narcan that they received as a result of going through Pony training.
And Pony is Preventing Overdose and Naloxone Intervention. That's the group you run.
Exactly. That's a program out of the Miriam Hospital in which we do trainings in the community and distribute naloxone. And we have talked to almost 100 folks who have said, oh, I used naloxone to save a life. Here's what happened. But I can tell you a third of the people that we've talked to actually called 911.
That's amazing to me. So a third of the people you've handed out Narcan or naloxone to, and I should clarify, we use those words interchangeably. Narcan is the trade name for naloxone, which is the drug that can reverse an overdose. A third of them called 911. That means the rest didn't. And it's because they were scared of the law enforcement response. With that off the table, if it's off the table with the reinstatement of the Good Samaritan law, do you think we'll see more people who use drugs engaging with law enforcement coming to the emergency room, or is that going to take some time to change?
I actually think it's going to take time to change. We can say that people felt comfortable getting naloxone because we've been able to look at numbers through the pharmacies that's distributed naloxone, through the emergency rooms that's distributed naloxone, through the Department of Corrections, through the residential and detox facilities, and through the community naloxone distribution programs, that there are over 3,000 Rhode Islanders who have received naloxone between 2014 and 2015. That's a big deal. And there would not be that demand for naloxone if there weren't an environment set up in which people felt comfortable doing that. What I did not see as much, and this is from doing trainings at the Department of Corrections, doing trainings in recovery houses, with people who either are currently using drugs or were using drugs in the not distant past, a lot of people reported that they did not feel confident that they wouldn't be caught up in the criminal justice system if they called 911.
And we're talking about incarceration so much in the context of opioid addiction and overdose because, Michelle McKenzie, there's been a huge increase in the use of illicit opioids and the use of heroin. Isn't that right? That's how I want you to describe, if you can, how this epidemic has evolved over time.
In Rhode Island and in the whole Northeast corridor, there has been a level of heroin addiction all along. And there has been overdose all along. What happened about 15 years ago that has increased the number so dramatically is that there was an increased use of prescription opioids to treat both acute and chronic pain. And that put much more opioids into the community.
So you're saying doctors started prescribing more opioids. In fact, there was a push to control people's pain in a way that we had never seen before. Hospitals were being rated for quality based on how well they controlled people's pain. So we had all these opioids out in the community, prescriptions for OxyContin and Vicodin and all these things. And some people were on them for long doses, right, and got hooked.
Right. And as more people are exposed to opioids, and there are a certain segment of the population that would have a
genetic predisposition.
Thank you. A genetic predisposition to addiction and to opioid addiction. That kind of sets up an environment in which we have many people who are using opioids that would not have been exposed to them before. I think focusing only on the drug and how addictive the drug is, it's important, but it is not sufficient.
And it's also had some negative consequences in a way, right? I mean, we're seeing maybe somewhat lower prescribing rates when it comes to, you know, prescription painkillers, but that's then driving more people to heroin because maybe they can't get a prescription anymore. They can't afford the prescription drugs.
Absolutely. So there is, so as their prescribing becomes more conservative, and people have less access to prescription opioids. But if they are struggling with addiction, they don't quit being addicted because they don't have access to prescription opioids anymore. And what we've seen in the last 3 years has been a tremendous shift from prescription opioid use to heroin use. Research shows that 80% of the people who are currently using heroin started out using prescription drugs.
Do you think the governor's overdose task force can make a dent? Do you think we can reach this goal of reducing overdose deaths by a third in 3 years?
I think that the task force has done a wonderful job at bringing a lot of players to the table, players that can really make a difference, and that they're very specific recommendations that increase treatment availability, increase recovery support, increases access to naloxone so that people have the tools to save a life. I think what the task force really couldn't do, but what I think we need to do more broadly, is to say, what is the bigger picture? And what are the really fundamental changes that we need to make? And I think that there need to be fundamental changes in drug policy. That's one area in which there are fundamental changes need to be made, so that we create a context in which people can feel connected and feel like they have the resources, so that there is a less of a chance that people turn to drugs to get the connection and solace they need, because certainly that is a very dangerous thing to do.
Michelle McKenzie is a researcher with the Miriam Hospital and also chair of the Rhode Island Community for Addiction Recovery Efforts. Thanks so much, Michelle.
Thank you so much, Kristen.
Healthcare reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant from the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.